You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
That's a problem with a lot of this stuff, especially this this Guerrilla Warfare album. Like,
oh, don't you dare say that, buddy.
This album is awful.
What?
Like, awful. My goodness.
This is the best album of the first run.
God, that's just not saying so much. I mean, look. Listen. Most of that BG album's awful. Like, half of 400 Degrees is pretty bad. But this...
Bruh.
Goodness.
You
bruh. Bruh.
You are bugging.
See,
you
laid low the whole episode. Just in the cut.
Bruh, you tripping right now.
Okay, first off, Dre, how hype were you when this album got 4.5 mics in the source?
Bruh. Bruh, you are tripping. The help?
Help! Oh man! And he threw the No Limit shot at the end.
Help!
Because that was right after the Hot Boys movie came out, and BG threw the shot like everybody was dying for a No Limit cash.
Tuesday and Thursday.
Tuesday and Thursday was all right.
Even We On Fire.
No, We On Fire. Look, the singles on this are actually really bad. We On Fire is nothing special. I Need a Hot Girl is cheesy and terrible.
Nah. Even Bout Whatever was dope. Like, a Turk solo record was dope.
See, your nostalgia is clouding your vision.
No, man.
Boys at War? Them drums on Boys at War? Are you serious?
Damn, those drums are crazy. That was Manny's, like, he got off on the drums. On that
man, drum. Okay. And that's one thing. Doc, you always talk about Beatty McBeatmaker.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sometimes Manny would get into a BD mix.
Sometimes.
I most of the time, I loved it.
All right, so I said my piece. Now y'all can talk about how much you love the album.
Wow. And then even, you know, look at the releases, like where they released that album. You know, it wasn't, again, so we set it up with 400 Degrees, right? And then you go to BG's, right? And it's, okay, we got Bling Bling now, right? And then you go into Guerrilla Warfare and you look at the releases. It's not only America, but now we're releasing in Portugal, Ireland, Japan, Canada, China, Brazil, United Kingdom, India, Italy. It's just like when movies, you know, they talk about now, like with quote unquote black movies, it's hard to break overseas. Like, that's when you know the machine is like behind it, when they're like, okay, we spending money for overseas. Like that whole, those two albums set this up to, it was like, okay, now we gotta put everything into this. This isn't just a regional thing anymore. Like, everybody's gravitating towards this. Bling Bling is a word now. Like, they were, the wheels, everything was rolling at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's funny how, you know, I think about it. Am I wrong, or did people think that Bling Bling was Wayne's record?
I don't think so.
Because Wayne was on the hook.
Well, on the radio version or the video version as well, he actually gets a verse.
Yeah.
But on the album version, he's not there.
But I say all that to say, like, now you start, you know, Juvenile and BG were coming out. They were ready. Wayne was still kind of like going through the dojo, but you see glimpses of him and they're sort of building him up. So, you know, him being on Bling Bling, him having the bridge, and even adding the Wobble Dee Wobble to Back That Thing Up, because, you know, that's not on the album version. That's on the radio version and then later pressings of the album. I know that because I've had four versions. But then, like, I Need a Hot Girl, like, that's Wayne steals the show on that record.
Yeah.
And it sets the stage for him to drop his solo.
That's when the wah start coming in.
Wah. Wah, 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 wah. Because wah, wah. Before it was ha, ha,
ha. Yeah, and then it turned to wah.
Yeah, so...
Wow.
That's BG.
Oh, my gosh.
Yo, I'm sorry, Doc. Like, you ruined me talking about this album.
Yeah, you bugging, bro.
Really?
Yo, this album, this one thing, like, we talk about, you know, BG's album not holding up well. Like the good songs on here still sound really, really good.
No. Yeah, you bugging.
Like it's
you
just bugging. Not. No. I don't even know how to describe. This is not, no. Yeah,
I remember being hyped. I went to Midnight Monday at Independent Records for this album. Like, yeah, I had this album Monday night at midnight. Like, I needed this joint. Like, this album, it got 4.5 mics in the Source. They got the Source cover. They had like a 4 or 5 page like article. Like, yeah, this is full Cash Money Stannery for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, for me, it was more like when I saw the review in the Source, I just crossed my arms a little tighter and I was like, nah, I'm good. Cause you know, that's not what I was listening to in 99. And so like, I don't have that, like to listen to this with fresh ears in 2015. I wish I could explain, like, it's just not, obviously it's not the same, right?
I mean, it's hard for me to say, you know, I'm just going to assume, yeah, it's probably difficult, but I think that's for a lot of albums. That are 15 years old or whatever. So I'm sure you hearing this album. If I heard this album for the first time, like I would probably. But then again, you know, like I've always loved Southern hip hop. So
yeah, I didn't even like the singles when they came out, right? So like, I mean, out of all the Cash Money stuff, like this just never hit me. So
next,
right? That's pretty much what I was thinking.
I mean, because even though I had the backpack with you, I had the 555 soul.
I hear you.
I had all of that, but I also had my soldier rag. Like, it was with Chucks and Dickies. Like, I was all over the place.
Yeah.
Especially in 99. Like, it was like everybody was on cylinders in the late 90s, early 2000s. So, I guess we can move on. We want to talk about.
Right. Because a large part of why they put out the songs they did with Guerrilla Warfare, like you guys were saying, is to set up the Block as Hot.
Yeah.
So that Wayne can get his shot.
Yeah.
So how do y'all feel? How do y'all feel, what, almost over 15 years later about the Block as Hot, like the actual single?
No. I mean, for that time, yeah, but not now. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the contract timeline for Wayne?
Yeah,
we broke that down. Yep, we broke that down on the show a while back.
It's pretty awful.
Yeah, so this is like, I guess, when Universal actually said, because, you know, for the listeners, I don't know if people know that, y'all might have talked about that in the contract breakdown, but like, so he's signed to Cash Money as a hot boy, which they got a deal through Universal, but I don't think he had his actual solo deal yet.
Yeah, it was like, it was TDE-esque.
Yeah. So it's like, this is when, again, I feel like they started rolling out, you know, the red carpet for them because they were trying to milk it for what they had, which Wayne releasing Block is Hot and then Juvie just kind of going through the motions, which he said with G-Code was kind of like, you're on a timeline now. There is no, you know, there is no normal Cash Money structure anymore where it's just getting the studio and work. It's, hey, we need that album now. Mm. Again, that was a start of it with BG. And I just, after that, it was kind of like, it was a domino effect.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, Block is Hot.
This album, I remember a friend of mine, he loved this album. And this was the days where like you almost felt an allegiance to whatever crew you were with,
mm-hmm.
or whatever crew you liked. So you bought everything. So, mm-hmm. you know, if it was Def Jam, if it was Rockefeller, if it was Cash Money, like I was putting money down at this point. So I wasn't the biggest fan of The Block is Hot, but I bought this album. And there was only two records on this album that really like did it for me. Lights Off is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Enemy Turf is crazy.
Loud Pipes?
Nah, they didn't do it for me.
One of my favorites of all time, Cash Money records.
Yeah, what else? What else for you?
Not too much. I mean, towards the end, I mean, he tried with F the World or whatever, but it wasn't really. He tried to be introspective, and
was that the first introspective Cash Money joint?
Yes, and then BG tried it with Change the World or something like that.
Yeah.
We'll talk
about a lot of eye rolling.
We're gonna skip over that, but yeah. But yeah, I don't think. I mean, for one, there's just too much Turk on this album.
There's a lot of Turk, especially at the end. Like Armand, you were saying they don't finish strong. You look at the track listing; the last two songs feature Turk, and you're like, okay. Yep.
You know what though? I remember liking "You Want War" with the little fake Michael Jackson beat.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, I remember liking that record.
I think I cut it off. I used to cut it off after "Lights Off," like, which you know, irony. Irony. "Lights Off." But yeah, like, yeah, it probably should have been an EP. I mean, I think during this time frame that we are in now, as far as music industry, if somebody was smart at Universal, they would have just, this would have been an EP. I mean, somebody's first solo, they would have dropped the EP and then did the album, because there were a lot of throwaways, like tons of throwaways.
I don't even remember "Respect Us" being a single.
No, he didn't. The only single he had was "The Block Is
Block
High."
Block Is High. Yeah.
Respect. No, nah, wait. "Respect Us" was the that was the Latin joint, right? The doom 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 doom.
It's so cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
"Respect Us."
Yeah, I do remember that being. Reckless. Yeah, I do remember that being a single, because I was like, why is that a single?
It was a video for that. I do remember that. That's terrible.
Now, Dre, were they running in this video?
No, that was "Block Is Hot."
I mean, that was every Cash Money video.
This one, he was just on the porch of a, he had like a white tee and he was on a porch or something, and he was doing, it was mainly his eyes in this video. You know, back then he was like the king of the eye movements and the facial expressions. Like, it was more of a performance video out there.
Gotcha.
So we're going to move right on to G-Code?
Yeah, yes. We do that. Now, that's very interesting. You briefly touched on it earlier, but I'm assuming he said this in the Cash Money interview that he was going through the motions on G-Code?
Yeah, I think he said something to the effect of it was like pressure from the label just to turn in a record. I want to say he was like on tour while he was making this. So it was kind of like a new experience to, you know, do that type of. I know they were touring probably throughout 400 Degrees, but not like it was at this point for him.
So was, think, was, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, was this around the time of the Rough Riders Cash Money tour?
No, I think that comes later.
That's later? Okay.
Well,
yeah. Is that 2000? Sure? Is that 2000? I think that's 2000.
I got it for my birthday. It was my freshman year in college. So it was 2000. It was September 2000 when I got it. So that was around the time, like, Baller Blocking and all that.
It started in 2000.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
So that was the Baller Blocking era and all that. That was right before the fall.
Right. Because, although you got to imagine, between the success of, you know, Back That Thing Up and Bling Bling, and then what they were doing with the Hot Boys, like, they probably just toured that whole summer. And then you look at a lot of these releases, especially as we go deeper into the discography, you see a lot of, like, late December releases, which are, you know, at that era, you know, if they're saying, you know, it was a rush job, it was one of those things where they're like, we've got to get it in fourth quarter, you got to get it in, you got to get it in. So,
yeah, and I want to say that was the tour that he was on when he was trying to do G-Code, because, you know, they probably had, I mean, all the editing they had to do, and so they released it in 2000, but it was probably for that, I'm sure, for the 99 and the 2000.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, so you understand that, you know, they obviously tried to bring back, like, the Hot formula, and that,
Nah, you understand with Straight?
Nah.
Nah, he even said, I want to say he said he didn't like that joint, because it was the label that said, do another Hot.
Mm.
I'm like 99.9% sure that that's what he said. It was, and not Cash Money, but like Universal, saying we need another high. Again, this is when the commercialism starts to come into play. And just when you're dealing with people that are from a certain element, like, that always just, it doesn't go right. It doesn't go right. Unless you're playing the game, like some of them have, but I don't. Juvie wasn't trying to play the game, I don't think.
Yeah, I think he was just trying to make good music and make some money.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, any standouts on here?
There is one.
Go ahead.
No, I was trying to figure out which one it was.
I like Never Had Ish. That one was cool. I remember liking that one. Other than that, like, I remember really being like upset with the album.
Little Boys.
G Code was alright.
Little Boys reminded me of We on Fire. Like, you start seeing them, like, they had the great first single. So they had High, Cash Money is an Army. They had We on Fire. Well, not even the great first singles, just great singles. Back That Thing Up. What was the record? I Need a Hot Girl. So now they're like trying to reduplicate or replicate those types of songs. So Lil Boys is a duplicate of We on Fire. I Got That Fire is a duplicate of I Need a Hot Girl. You understand, is a duplicate of High. Like, they were, you know, like you said, Dre, I'm sure that was probably the label, but you know, I also say that, like, you know, if you're churning out records like this, like, you know, your creativity, like, isn't at 100, you know, and it's just like, all right, we need to do these records. It becomes a business, and maybe creativity takes a backseat to what is going to generate the most profit.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, that's what, I mean, they gave them $30 million. I don't think they only wanted that $30 million back. They were trying to see. They were trying to turn a profit. So,
you know, they wanted 90.
Yeah, and when you got potential like that, I mean, they saw the potential of High, and you got people that aren't from that element. You know, it's not real. So I'm sure it was just, like you said, hey, we need this record. We need another High. We need another, you know, whatever. Recreate that magic. And, you know, as musicians, you can't, or any musician, you can't really can't do that like that. It has to be organic. So.
Well, it's funny, like, you talk, you know, you're right, like, you know, there's a lot, this whole G-Code album is pretty lackluster, but what's interesting is, like, they really go through, like, a whole string of, like, classic singles the year after that, right?
Yeah, 2000. Well, 2000...
You don't think so?
Well, the Big Timers.
What did I say? Well, yeah. I mean, Get Your Roll On is a classic, but I was going to ask, well, Number One Stunner, you know, like, what was there anything else?
Well, then they had Project Chick, and then they had...
Okay.
So they had, like, they did a nice little run there.
Yep.
Yes, actually, you want to talk about that Big Timers? I got that work.
I just want to talk about the greatness of Get Your Roll On.
Like, Get Your Roll On is amazing.
Yeah,
the
Get
Your Roll On is classic.
Classic.
Yeah. Shout out to the PT Cruisers, like...
Such a bad car.
Yo, I used to want the candy paint PT Cruiser like nobody's business. Yo, like,
yep. I told my mom when I was in high school I was gonna buy her one.
they must have sold Chrysler a lot of PT Cruisers.
I bet they did.
Hopefully they got a little money off that.
I mean, St. Louis, you know, I wholeheartedly believe there's some places in the Midwest that's just like the South. And, you know, like, I would go to St. Louis in the summertime, and that's all you saw. You saw the dope boys in the PT Cruisers. And you know, of course, Escalades and you know, even like Avalanches to an extent. And, you know, I'm trying to think of the other Expeditions. But you definitely saw like the D-Boys in the PT Cruisers with the candy paint and they might've had 20s, but it definitely had rims on them joints. So Get Your Roll On is amazing. Number One Stunner is amazing too.
Number One Stunner is great. Like, it's ridiculous, but it completely works.
Which also features my favorite Cash Money line of all time.
Which is?
When the light hit the ice, it twinkle and glisten. Baby delivers that it's perfect. It's amazing.
Baby, let me get the keys to the Rover truck. That's my
baby, let me get this beat. It's over, bruh. Yes. That's another thing that Cash Money used to do. They would take lines from their verses and make songs out of them elsewhere.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Efficiency.
Yep. They're known for doing it.
Yeah, no rhyme left behind.
There's a lot. Juvie would take a lot from Soldier Rags.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
But again, I think that was like a lot of that was just going back to the whole culture thing we was talking about earlier and being original. Like a lot of that, I feel like was just stuff that they just said on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
That they just incorporated and continue to incorporate in their songs over the years.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a reach.
Right.
Didn't feel like a reach at all.
No pun.
Yeah, there you go.
And so aside from Get Your Roll on Number One Stunner, what else are the highlights from I Got That Work? I like BG on Stuntastic. I'm not going to lie.
Wow. Stuntastic.
Yeah. You don't like Guerrilla Warfare, but you like Stuntastic.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Wow.
That's funny.
And
yeah, I didn't like this album at all. I didn't like 10 Ways.
The kids are so annoying.
Yeah, I didn't like 10 Ways. I mean, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and say it. More often than not, kids on hip hop records like miss.
Right.
They're not.
Your man Big Bang Busta Rhymes will get out of here.
Oh man.
Get out.
Oh man, that don't even count like that.
So bad.
Excuse me, I feel like that wasn't supposed to happen.
You dying? Y'all right there?
Yes, I'm dying. I feel like David Banner had a no. Was it Trick Daddy who had a dope record with kids on it?
Yeah.
All I want. Oh yeah, I'm a thug. I was thinking of didn't he have like Dear America or something like that? Yo, shout out to Trick Daddy, man. Trick Daddy Dollars.
You know what? I didn't even like the little kids on Nas's I Can.
I didn't either. I hate I Can.
Yeah.
I hate that song. And that's Nas's. We talk about that on this retrospective. That's his biggest record.
Which is incredible.
That's nuts. Yeah, I didn't like it. I never liked I Can. It's
all about the dollars, guys. It's all about the dollars.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much did... I mean, like, does Beethoven have, like... You know, did he have to like clear that sample?
Nah,
that's open. That's open domain.
Yeah.
So shoot, a break beat and a freaking classical sample and boom.
Yeah. He said BET they wouldn't have him out the year before. And he dropped I Can an album the year after that. Like I Can had been out forever and they wanted him to come back and do it. Like because they caught on to it. That was just like the commercial thing to do.
It's a very BET thing.
Yeah, like they actually denied him. It wasn't that they didn't invite him; like they denied him, the opportunity to perform. And then, oh, you got that I Can record? Not because it was positive, but just because it fit with what they were trying to do.
Because it hit. Do the song for the kids, Kanye.
Yeah, exactly.
We can go ahead and
yeah, I was gonna say, any is there anything good on Baller Blocking aside from Project Chip?
Well, it's the first Cash Money appearance of TQ.
Ugh.
Did you bring
up? Shout out to Jay Gibbons for referencing TQ's second single, Bye Bye Babe, that I completely forgot about. Like you, so
he had
so,
a second single?
That's what I'm saying. Like, so you mean to tell me we just randomly bring up TQ and you don't bring up West Side, you bring up Bye Bye Baby? Really? Like, you got me beat, bro. Like,
so.
What about Rover Truck? Baby, let me get the keys.
I remember liking Rover Truck. Other than that, I'm looking at this. There's a Nas and Bravehearts record on it.
I actually went. I specifically had to go listen to see how bad that would be. I mean, yeah, it's about as bad as you'd expect it would be.
Is it Quick to Back Down bad? Quick to Back Down.
It's just as it's just as jumping on the spur of the moment trend as that. But yeah, I mean, it's not great. Let's just say they try to make it sound like a mostly Nas song. It's no, he has a little bit on it, but it's a lot of jungle.
I was gonna say at least have a little bit of horse on that.
Oh, there's definitely a horse verse. You ever want to hear a horse in a man? Is it? I'm assuming it's Manny Fresh. Or God help us. Horse and Manny Fresh. That's a combo you don't need to hear.
Face. That's the greatest radio edit ever. You call it face.
You know what we didn't talk about that was one of the most important Cash Money records of the late 90s, at least for somebody who was a total East Coast hip hop stan, is the record they had on Born Again.
Oh man, I remember liking BG's verse on that record.
Everybody liked BG's verse on that.
Yeah, BG killed that. Other than that, check the pain knife. I didn't want to hear Biggie on a Manny Fresh record. Like, that was...
He sounded better than Jay on Ha. I mean...
Look, man.
At least they found something that kind of fit.
Yeah. The Biggie duets.
No, we don't need to talk about that.
Nah, no Jazzy, no Jazzy fizzle, fizzle, fizzle. Fizzle, fizzle, fizzle. Yo, this Baller Blockin' soundtrack has a rapping forte record.
There's like, a lot of struggle
but,
on this track list.
But this is a classic movie. Great movie.
No, I know you didn't just say no.
Who's of course in the classic Who's the Baller Now, Wardy? I was telling Doc that's a classic moment in modern cinema. He put him on the tape. Wasn't Ezell in both? Wasn't Ezell in Hot Boys and Baller Blockin'?
Yes.
Okay.
That's when he was getting his checks for being a crackhead.
Yep, I remember that. Yeah, good movie. So if y'all can find it, it's on YouTube.
The whole thing, because it's actually easier to find the movie on YouTube than it is to find the album.
He was in a bunch of other Master P movies.
He was in, you had him and, Ezell and Pinky were in every single black. Like, we always talk about the, I can't think of their names, but the black women who play black mothers in every black movie. But, like, Ezell and Pinky were in, and, like, they just had, like, a monopoly. Like, they had first dibs on every single black movie.
Yeah, they had a little run.
Nice so, little run.
So, do we really need to say much about Checkmate?
No.
I remember my feelings being hurt.
How did they get, considering they're throwing, like, there's a lot of, like, singles that Manny's doing classic beats for, and they didn't have anything for BG? Nothing?
Yeah. I think this was that time, bro. Like, it was like, wasn't Jazzy Faye in the fold at this time? Didn't he start running around?
If Jazzy Faye was around, I think Jazzy Faye came around like around.
He comes later.
I think he's in the Bugatti era. Ugh. In the Birdman era.
Yeah, 0203. Yeah, so this is like the. These are like the fulfill the Universal contract records.
Checkmate was bad.
Yeah, like the singles were all no.
Yeah, Hennessy and Ecstasy was bad, and I Know was bad. Like, I tried to like I Know. I tried to give I Know a shot, but it just, nope.
Yeah, like Manny's kind of trying on that a little bit, but it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I wonder, is this around the time when BG relapsed?
Yes, and I think that was part of the problem too.
Okay.
And this was around the time when I stopped caring.
Yeah.
This was when I went into my Rockefeller mode.
Yeah, 2000. Hold on. Something else I want to talk about or mention. Dre, when did Hypnotize Cash Money come out? Was that 99?
When did what?
Hypnotize Cash Money. Remember they did a couple of songs with 3-6 Mafia, so they had Play While You're Hating, and they had the I think it was Ballers.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember what year that was though.
I think that was 99.
Yeah, 99 looks like.
Play While You're Hating. Hypnotize Cash Money was crazy. That record was crazy. So but I think do we need to talk Lights Out too?
I only want to talk about it just to say you could definitely tell like Wayne is getting better as an MC.
Yes.
Like, I know you guys talked about his energy early on, but like he's still got most of that energy, but now he's a much more competent MC.
Right.
Mm.
Right? Like he was really trying with lyrics earlier, but now his delivery is really catching up.
Yeah. He switches it up too. Like, he actually played with a couple of, like, there was one, which one was it where he like, he went super fast, or fast for him. It was the first time I heard him do that. I forgot which song it was, though. I don't remember any of these.
So Get Off the Corner wasn't bad.
No, Get Off the Corner was pretty good.
But, you know.
Shine is the, I mean.
I used to love that song. I ain't gonna front.
Yo. First off, yes. Yes. In 2000, like this record was, or 2000, when did this come out?
2000.
First off, this is the third, Shine was the third single.
Right.
Yeah.
Because everything was the second single.
Oh God, I watched the video for that today.
I don't even think I remember that video, man.
I just remember his daughter being in the video.
Let's just say there's at one point where he's wearing a Kobe jersey backwards underneath overalls.
That's hilarious. This is also the point where Wayne felt the need to repeat a line because he doesn't think that we heard him.
I don't think y'all heard me.
Because he said he gets cake like every day is his birthday.
Shy. But that video is so bad.
But that's a classic moment in Cash Money history.
I remember everything though. It was about Rabbit.
Other than that, yeah, like this album is nah. This album is all types of nah.
Yeah.
Man. I'm just looking at it.
All types of nah.
Yeah, this album is all types of nah.
We got a song called Jump Jiggy.
Oh, it's so bad. I just listened to this like an hour before we started recording. F With Me Now isn't bad, actually. And like,
that's the one I was talking about.
Yeah, okay. That, like, you know, Doc from 2000 would have appreciated that one. But yeah, Jump Jiggy is exactly as bad as it sounds. The blues sounds exactly how you think it sounds.
Oh, yeah, the blues. Yeah. Like, the blues was bad. I don't want to hear Wayne over, like, a blues song. Like, nah, fam. Nope. Like, a real blues song. Like, wait, this is really, y'all really sampled. Recreated a blues record and you're rapping over it. Nah.
Biz Night was not awful, but
Biz Night. we was really calling chicks Biz Night because of that record. I remember that. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, you listen to these now and you're just like, man, I'm too old to be listening to this. Stupid. I feel terrible. Impression.
Yeah, I really do. I really disrespected a lot of women because of hip hop. Like, blasted, impressionable.
Terrible.
It's terrible.
Terrible.
Okay, so do we want to talk about this Turk, Young & Thuggin album? This 21-track Turk, Young & Thuggin album?
See, to me, them giving Turk an album in 2001 is sort of like how Rough Riders waited to give Dragon that solo album.
Yeah, I think it was Universal, though.
You think it was Universal?
Yeah, because he was, again, like they had to give them. Universal was basically putting out the album, so it's like, if I don't think it was a situation where Cash Money could just say, hey, we putting out Turk. Like, nah, it's again, it's about the money. So if Turk ain't popping, we not putting anything out with him. We just not finna try, give an artist a try. But I think at this point, this is when you know, because I thought, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, it's just he's the next in line.
Oh, right.
But really, if you look at the business of it, this is the point where it's like, Juvie's leaving. Manny Fresh is upset. Wayne just dropped, so we can't do that again. BG is on heroin. What do we do?
Turk is like, hey, guys. Get in the studio. Yeah. You there. Get in the studio.
Right.
Yeah. I don't even remember that album. I've never heard it.
I bought it for sure.
Oh, man. Shout out to you.
Yeah, I bought it for sure, man. This
album went gold.
Yeah. On the strength of Cash Money.
Right.
Yeah, because I don't even remember what. I remember It's In Me being a single, but I don't even remember what it sounded like.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah, okay.
And now we're starting to see, like, Mickey show up and
Tatizzi. Boongatti.
We're not there quite yet, but.
Lack. I'm looking at the Project English album.
Yeah, I listened to that today. We should probably end with Project English.
What was the first? Oh, Set It Off. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's classic. Yeah, no Set It Off sample. Or no Set It Off slander. Because that's you and LV drag him in the river.
Yeah.
So that's classic. And then, Mama Got.
Just say it. Mama Got Ass.
Nah, come on, man. I can't. Well, you can say it. That was all right.
You know where him and Manny were trying to go.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I can't forget if you or Dre said it. Like, you know, they were just trying to bring, they were like, hey, let's try to do another Back That Thing Up. Why not?
Yeah. But I think by this time it was too little, too late.
It was over.
Yeah, it was over. So, unless you want to get into this Mac 10 Banger Ball album.
Nah, we're.
Nah, we
so
good.
What I really want to ask you guys to do, since you guys were the bigger fans, like, so from a bigger picture, like, what did Cash, like, I wanted to ask, like, what did Cash Money mean to you? But, like, so it's kind of crazy because at the time, No Limit and Cash Money, at least for me from an outside perspective, they seemed to be roughly equivalent in terms of stature. Obviously, because of the future iterations of Cash Money, that name has sort of lived on. But like, how, like, what are your, like, overall, like, when you think of Cash Money in the late 90s, like, what does that mean to you?
Go ahead, Dre.
For me, it was definitely a, like, I was trying to figure out who I was at that particular time. So I think I gravitated towards it because, like we talked about earlier, it was something fresh and something new. So it was kind of like I was playing a character at that point, you know. So I just remember, like I said, I remember certain songs exactly where I was, what I was doing. Like that run shaped me and made me or influenced me to make some really bad choices.
Yeah.
Like in life in general. So, so yeah, I mean, for me, it represents a very dark time, like in my life and just trying to figure out who I was. Like, you know, I remember my coach in college actually taking away my Chopper City album because I cussed the kid out, like at the basketball camp I was working at. And like, I literally thought I was on Cash Money. Like I thought I was the fifth member of the Hot Boys for sure. Like, so it definitely, it was a period that like, I don't regret like stuff that I didn't like, cause it made me who I am now, but I definitely wouldn't want to go back to that time. Like, especially listening to the stuff now, like not only the content is horrible, but the music, for what it's worth, like the majority, there are like some great musical productions at the beginning. But for the most part, it was like, dog, you wasted your money. Like, there was just like nothing. It was like eating a bunch of junk food. So yeah, for me, that's what Cash Money was for me. It's just you know, played a part in my identity crisis.
Yeah.
How about you, Armand?
I can attest to that. There was a plethora of hip hop in retrospective that, you know, kind of aided me in making bad choices. I think that, you know, it's just weird, like the level of influence that their music like has on my music for one, and, you know, just how much of a Cash Money stan I was in 99. I don't always go back and reference this stuff. So when I, you know, go in my periods of wanting to listen to this stuff, like I very rarely say, yeah, I want to listen to a Hot Boys album. But, you know, when I go back, I think the biggest thing musically is, I don't think Manny Fresh gets the credit he deserves. He's producing all these albums. And yeah, sure, you know, some of the tracks kind of ran into each other. Some of them sounded alike, but like, man, Manny is a beast. Like,
yeah,
I watched him do a beat battle. He did a beat battle with KLC, at, I think it was, South by Southwest or something like that, like a year or two ago. And the beat battle was about an hour and a half long, and Manny was killing KLC. Like, it just wasn't close. And Manny was playing like his B records. Like, Manny wasn't doing the hits. He did the hits at the end. But Manny, like, you know, we could talk about Juvenile's influence, his sing-songy influence that, you know, I believe later, you know, inspired your Nellies and, you know, a whole, yeah, your Ja Rules. Like, I think Juvenile doesn't get enough credit as an MC for kind of really bringing that sing-songy flow. And adding that New Orleans bounce to it, you know, and then same with BG. Like, you know, I used to think BG was super dummy lyrical at the time. Like, I used to love BG. So I'm rambling, but I say all that to say, like, I think Cash Money, it's weird. It's like two completely or like three different eras of Cash Money. The Cash Money that most people know about now and this Cash Money is like night and day.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely more fond of this Cash Money, but you know, I can agree with Dre and like, yo, like, man, I heard these songs and it took me back to a place that I really, really like, whew, I was wilding out. Like, I was for sure.
I will say too, just like I will say, like, the some positive out of it, I guess what I took from it, like, that era was it pushed me to actually create, because sometimes simplicity, it pushes artists in general. You know, some of that is bad because you get a ton of people trying to do something because if they feel like they can do it because such and such, like, Baby doesn't really know how to rap, so I can probably do it too. But it definitely, like, the simplicity of it made me just spit, like, and just really write a lot and create, and production wise, that was one of the, like, Manny was one of the ones that, like, pushed me to buy my own equipment and start trying to, you know, produce and all that kind of stuff, and get me, like, musical with it and not just, you know, just drums in a loop, but actually, like, try to find musicians. And, like, I do appreciate it. And, you know, that era pushed me to, because they were dropping stuff all the time. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, even though it wasn't quality, the fact that they were just, the amount of music that they put out, you know, was amazing. Like, nobody was really doing, like, from a crew, you know what I'm saying? Like, the crews that were out, nobody was really putting out music like that, like they were, with one producer. You know what I'm saying? Like, Rough Riders had Swiss, but, you know, what albums did they put out like that, besides DMX putting out two albums in 1 year?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, as far as crews are concerned, I mean, the Lox only had what? Didn't they only have one album on Rough Riders?
Yeah.
Yep, we've been waiting on that third album for...
Never.
20 years.
Nah. It's done. Nope.
Diddy just signed a check, man. It's on.
I mean, Jada's doing dope freestyles in 2015. I know.
Is he? I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
Are you him and, that's it?
Him and Fab have actually been kind of trading little jabs at each other. So, yeah, they're not as good as Fab's, but especially this last one, the two curse words, like, that one was dope. You know, that one was dope. But Fab has the best ones, followed by, I think I like Lloyd Banks is better too. Banks has been doing some dope ones too. So what about you, Doc? Like, what is your Cash Money legacy?
A pretty impressive collection of singles, an incredibly prolific output.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, like, for me, a lot of these albums, once you get outside the hits, there's a lot of filler. But that's also my bias, right? I mean, you know, like, I am not necessarily, like, I, you know, I'm team, like, sample and a breakbeat over here. So, like, I have a different, like, I'm, you know, I admit my biases, you know what I mean? Like, so I grew, like, frankly, I just grew up listening to different hip hop than this. This is completely different. But, you know, it's, right, I guess I would just say what it is, which is, and for me, what's really interesting is, and I think it's not appreciated enough. I talked about it a little bit, but just like as a, I say the word pop and I don't mean that in a bad way, but like as a popular music presence, the evolution of Manny Fresh. And I feel like all the drama and all the stuff that happened with Cash Money in the early 2000s delayed what could have been a really interesting Manny Fresh album. But, and by the time he started making solo albums, it wasn't too late, but it wasn't in that peak era, you know? And he ended up being consistently funny on the mic. Like, he knew exactly what he was. Like, you get in trouble when you have rappers who are really limited, and for whatever reason, maybe they're not a good writer, maybe they don't flow well, whatever their reasons are, and they try to, like, be something they're not. Manny knew exactly what he was. And, like, that self-awareness, especially on, like, that nice string of singles that Big Timers had, and they even had a couple more, you know, with Still Fly and stuff like that. But, like,
Fresh is our turn, baby.
Right. Like, and for a while, Baby was a perfect, like, sidekick to that persona. And then, you know, Baby became Birdman, like Dre said, and decided he wanted to be a little bit more of a real rapper. But there, I felt like Manny didn't, ironically, from an MC point of view, like, or even just like a solo artist, I feel like he didn't get that optimum point to shine. And that's a real downside to me.
Yeah.
I enjoy Manny.
I wish Manny, I mean, I guess, you know, I guess you could say all the Cash Money albums were like this, but I would have liked the Cash Money album in the vein of a Chronic where he produced it. And then it wasn't just Cash Money. you know, was like other artists, and he did a little more rapping. Like, I think a Cash Money, I think a Manny Fresh album, like in 1999 or 2000. Like, yeah, I think that would have been dope. So,
yeah.
All right. Next up. I think that's pretty much it, right? Anything else you guys want to say about Cash Money?
Nope, I'm good.
Nah. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening to this week's Clack Radio Speakers. Hopefully y'all really appreciated us trying to be, you know, maybe not track by track on Cash Money, but really trying to capture sort of the feel of the era, what it was like for people who grew up listening to Cash Money. I know I've already seen some of the tweets, some people who said that they weren't really into Cash Money. So you guys might have a little bit of my perspective, but hopefully y'all appreciated the episode either way. Use the hashtag #ClackRadioSpeakers as always and let us know what you think. So Dre's got a project. Dre, where can they get your latest and greatest?
You can go to iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, or you can go to collision-records.com.
That's S not a Z, people. S not a Z.
Right, right. And you can buy the physicals there, or you can get the list of stores where they are available nationwide.
And Armand, you got anything you want to plug?
Nope.
And in fact, we're doing the opposite because we are going to take a little hiatus this summer. We're taking 2 months off, June and July. Although if there's an actual dope Pusha T album in the middle of summer, I might coerce Armand out of his sabbatical to get on an episode or something with me. But we'll figure that out. But the idea is 2 months off. We've both got stuff going on. Armand's got family commitments. I'm going to be traveling a whole bunch. So taking 2 months off, hopefully come back better than ever. So we got, I think after this, probably what, 2 more episodes?
I just looked. Two, maybe three.
Two or three more episodes. Yep. So we haven't even talked about what we want to cover. So if there's something that you really want to hear us talk about that we maybe missed or didn't talk about enough, let us know on Twitter. But otherwise, I want to thank people at Fourth District for being real cool, considering we were like, yeah, let's all party together. And then we're like, yeah, we need to take some time off. And they didn't even blink an eye. So appreciate that.
Shout out to Dan. Appreciate that.
Yeah, if you know, I got this joint called Watch Radio Speakers that, you know.
That sounds like McDowell's.
They've got the Golden Arches. We've got the Golden Arcs.
You know what I'm saying? We moving it, though. Like, I mean, you know, I ain't got a co-host yet, but, you know, holler at me.
You could just do the Biggie thing, like the Ray to Die thing, and just like be your own co-host and just make your voice higher.
That's an awesome idea.
That's a lot of work.
You do the Give Me the Loot. You know how I feel? I don't really like that album, son. Stick and move. But yeah, all right. All right. We out. We out. We out. We out. Here.